Go with me now to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah 8 is before Psalms and Job. Nehemiah 8. I've always loved this chapter, ever since the first time I heard it, this wonderful story. But there is a story inside the story. There's a message inside the message. We know that every word in the Scripture is significant, don't we? Every single one. Every word. We're going to look at a few words in particular this morning. All right, let's begin by reading the first 9 verses here in Nehemiah 8. Verse 1 says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday," 6 hours, "before the men and women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." They were hanging on every word. Every word. Knowing that their souls depended on it. Knowing that it was life and death. Verse 4 says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Uriah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up." God's people have fear and reverence for God's word, don't they? They have fear and reverence. We may not physically stand up when we open this book, but we do in heart, don't we? We do in heart. We're reverencing and fearing the holy word of God. Verse 5, "Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. He is high, we are low, aren't we? We're low. He must be glorified, we must be abased. He must increase," John said, "I must decrease, I must. Holy and reverent is his name." Verse 6, "Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A very fearful thing. What is God going to do with me? This is why they stood in their place. They were listening to God's holy law being read, wondering in their souls, what is God going to do with me? The more men and women learn of God's law, this law, the more they understand, the more they see what God requires, the more they stand still. They start to not talk. Job said, I think I'll put my hand over my mouth now. I'm a sinner, standing on holy ground. One man said it like this. He said, we are sinners hanging over the mouth of hell by a spider's web. It's a fearful thing. A fearful thing. The end of verse 7 says, and the people stood in their place, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, that means the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The words of God's law cannot be heard with these ears. They cannot be heard with these ears. They're only truly heard with this heart. Only. Now, they do hear them. It goes out, and men do hear them, but it's not heard unless it's with the heart. And if God ever causes a sinner to hear with this heart the words of His law, that sinner will cry over his sins. He will cry. God will confront a man or a woman with their own sin every time. They live this life, they go through this entire life not thinking about it, not dwelling on it, not worried about it. But when God comes, the first thing He is going to show them is their sin. First thing. He's going to confront them with it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all those people, they listened attentively. And all those people, they were caused to understand it. And all those people wept when they heard the words of the law. Go with me over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty. You have a margin in your Bible? Subject to the judgment of God. Guilty before God. Every soul on this earth has broken God's law. Every soul. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's how we learn about our own sin. If a man wants to understand something of his sin, all he needs to do is look at God's law. That's all he needs to do. Look at God's law. Go over to Romans 7 with me. Romans 7, verse 12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Verse 14 says, for we know that the law is spiritual. But here's my problem. I am carnal, sold under sin. That's what God's law proves, absolutely proves to every man and woman who hears it. Hears it. I am sold to sin. Sold to sin. The law does not have one drop of good news for a sinner. Not one drop. The law shocks sinners. It breaks sinners. It crushes sinners. The law does nothing but cause sinners to weep. That's all it does. It causes sinners to weep. But Ezra and those men, they made them a pulpit of wood. And they stood up on this pulpit of wood and they said something. They told those people something that caused a great change to come over them. They're all standing there weeping. And they said something that made a great change. Go with me back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, verse 9 says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them." Now, what could they have possibly heard that would cause them to go from absolute crushing sorrow to indescribable joy? Something was good news to them. Something gave them strength. And it caused great mirth, great gladness and joy. What did they hear? Every name in this text is significant. Every single one. And the names of these men that preached, we went through all these men that preached. The names of the men that preached tell us what they preached, just like we did with John. They tell us what they preached. Now, the names in verse 4, you see all those names right there in verse 4? They are glorious. They're glorious. The meanings of those names are wonderful. But this morning, we're going to look at verse 7. I preached from this once before, and I looked at all the names in verse 4, and I didn't look at verse 7. And this morning, we're going to look at verse 7. And the definition of these names is going to tell us what brought these people out of this miry clay, all this sadness, all this sorrow. If God will cause us to hear this, if He'll open our heart this morning and cause us to hear this, we'll have some great mirth in here. We truly will. This is so wonderful and joyful. After this crushing reality, hearing God's law, the first name in verse 7 is Jeshua. And it means Jehovah will save. That's what it means. He will save. There is no hope under God's law. That's the truth. I mean, we tell God's law. I cannot make it into the presence of God Almighty by obeying one thing on any page in this book. Now, I want to, and I am commanded to, but I'm a sinner. And I just can't. I am damned. I'm damned. There is no hope under God's law. They told them, you're literally running as fast as you can into the grave. And that's what everybody's doing. They're running as fast as they can into the grave. But this is what they said. Jehovah will save you. Jehovah will save you. And I could picture those people. I thought about this great number of people all standing in the street together. One man, serious, standing there with husbands, wives, children. Everybody was silent. They didn't have microphones back then. Everybody was silent, listening to the words as they go forth, thinking, what is God going to do with me? And all of a sudden, the man says, Jehovah is going to save you from all this. What? What did he say? What did he just say? Did you hear what he said? What did you say? I said, Jehovah will save you. Immediately, hearts were turned from mourning to joy, laughter. I thought you just said, though, that we were going to die in our sins. I thought you said we were all sinners and this law condemned us and we only had one option, the grave. We thought this was our end. Verse 7, Bani stood up. His name means to cause to continue. It means built. It means established. He said, Jehovah's going to cause you to continue. Yes, in yourself, you're in a bad state. If it were not for Jehovah, you have no hope. You are not going to die, though. Because Jehovah will save and He'll cause you to continue. How? How? Does He just lift up the rug and we'll just sweep your sins under that rug? No, God is holy. That's what they kept. Three times they said He's holy in verse 9. And then in verse 10 they said He's holy. And then in verse 11 they said He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. How then, with this law being so against me? How? Verse 7. Sherebiah means Jehovah has brought heat. It means Jehovah has scorched. Well, I thought that's what I deserved. I thought that's what was coming to me. If it's not me, then who? Verse 7, Jamin means his right hand. Jehovah has scorched his right hand. God will not rain down fire on you because He rained down fire on His own Son. That's why. His right hand hath gotten you the victory. Death, where is thy sting? Yeah, but after seeing God's law, seeing my sin, I just have such a hard time believing He did this for me. I see where He has not done this for everybody. So I have a hard time believing I'm one of the us. I see how He could do it for others. But I don't know about me. Not with what I am. Verse 7. Achab and Shabbatai, they stood up together. Achab means trickery, to seize by the heel, to restrain as if holding by the heel, to supplant. Who's that? That's Jacob. That's the sinner. Yeah, but I'm the son of the sinner. Shabbatai means rest. It also means the Sabbath. Sinner, rest. Rest. Christ, our Sabbath, has given you rest. You mean that's it? I don't have to go do some great thing? No. Rest. Here's the truth. You were in a bad way. But God has saved you. He has plucked you as a brand from the fire. You will not die. you're going to continue forever. Yes, you sinner. I know what you did. Rest. Rest. He's done every bit of this for the unworthy and the ungodly. But I'm ungodly. Well, he did this for the ungodly. That's who he did it for. Rest. Verse 7, Hodiah means the majesty of Jehovah. Just rest in the majesty of Jehovah. It also means beauty, excellency, glory, honor. Rest in that. Just rest. Maaseiah means the work of Jehovah. Rest in that. Rest in everything He has accomplished for us. Everything that He has taken for us, everything He has given to us. Rest, pardon, freedom, forgiveness. No, we didn't deserve it. No, we didn't earn it. No, we're not worthy of it. But He gave it to us. He gave it to us. Rest. The law is horrible news. The law is the worst news I've ever heard in my life. But the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, is the greatest news a sinner will ever hear in his life. If a man or woman ever realizes, I am a sinner, this is the greatest news he'll ever hear in his life. Verse 7, Kalaita means crippled. Can't walk, can't come. Completely unable. Azariah means Jehovah has helped. Jehovah has helped. Who does he help? Well, he helps those who help themselves. No, he helps the crippled. That's who he helps. Those who cannot help themselves. That's who this message is to. My question is, has that holy law crippled me and crippled you? Are we crippled? Do we see, according by this law, by what he's demanding, I can't move? Not only am I just crippled, I'm dead. It cripples us. Well, that's who Jehovah has helped. Azariah, it also means to surround, to protect, to aid. If God has caused you to bow the knee to Christ, if God has caused you to fall in love with Jesus Christ, your God, your King, if He's caused you to confess that He's Lord of all, then you are so hedged about. You're so hedged about. Not only will you not die and be judged by Him, you are protected by Him. You are hedged about in His hand. Kept. Verse 7, Jozabad means Jehovah has given. He's given. What did He give? He gave Himself. He gave Himself, and in Him are all things. Ezra and these men, they told all of these weeping sinners, not only are you not going to die, but you're going to inherit the Son of God. You're going to inherit the Son of God. All things in Him, with Him, all things. Verse 7, Hanan means favor. It means to stoop in kindness to an inferior. It means He is merciful. That's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. What do we owe all this to? Grace and mercy. That's what this is. It also means, His name also means to dwell with. Hanan is Canaan, Canaan's land. You imagine living in the place where God lives? It's going to happen. We're going to dwell with Him. We are going to dwell with Him. The reason is because the name Peliah means Jehovah has distinguished. Jehovah has done wonders. Jehovah has made great. How did He make us crippled sinners great? How did He make us great? The name Levites means joined to. That's what it means. Ezra and all these men, they told the people, they stood up and they told these people, you have been joined to Jesus Christ. You were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved you, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened you together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. That's what they told them. That's why, in verse 9, Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. Don't cry, don't weep. That's why in verse 10, he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. It's all so good. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Don't you hear this gospel and think of people who have not eaten this and tasted this and think, oh, I want to bring a plate to them. I wish you could feast on this. I wish you could taste this and drink this. Verse 10, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why in verse 11, the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, we understand. We understand. Yes, I understand God's law, but I understand God's Son. I understand what He did. I understand why He did it. My mind can't fathom why he would love me, but he did. And I'm going to live because Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And then they all went home and they made great mirth. Let's all do the same thing. Let's stand together.